All right, welcome everybody to Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. Today is November 1, 2020. This is a live teleservice. We are in our series, Covenant, God's Way of Relationship. Today's teaching sermon is God's Covenantal Faithfulness, Part 2. And I'm Dr. Mary Craig. Why all the begats and genealogies in Scripture? Well, they provide a unity in God's plan of redemption, a framework, cords to bind together the account of Christ. God is faithful to his covenants, and we can see it in the genealogies. Bad kings, good kings, silence, promises of the Messiah, all were before God's vigilant eyes. Public registries were kept meticulously. We see that in 1 Chronicles 1, verse 9, and Ezra chapter 2. In Nehemiah 7, verse 5, we read, "And my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy." If priests could not trace their ancestry, they were put out of office. Nehemiah 7, verse 64. Nehemiah 7, verse 64. So whose son is Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 1 lists the descendants of David who were in the royal lineage. Matthew wrote primarily to the Jews of the first century, so he establishes the genealogy of Christ, terminating with, quote, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ," unquote. Matthew 1, verse 16. Luke, with a more universal audience in mind, begins with Jesus, quote, "being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli," unquote. Luke 3, 23, and traces the lineage back to Adam, quote, "which was the son of God," unquote. Luke 3, verse 38. National records were kept until the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jewish nation in 70 AD. No one during the time of Christ could dispute that Jesus was of the house and lineage of David, as he claimed to be, because it was a matter of public record. After 70 AD, no Messiah could prove that he was the prophesied son of David, because the plunder of Jerusalem by Titus destroyed and or confused the records. At the time of Christ, people looked forward to their posterity because of this high regard for their ancestry. Children were a heritage of the Lord, and the line of descent was also a heritage. What can we note about the two genealogies given in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3? Number one, women were included. Tamar conceived after prostituting herself with her father-in-law, who later declared her more righteous than he in Genesis chapter 38. Rahab was a harlot. Ruth was a Moabite. Bathsheba was the object of David's adulterous love. God gave these women places of honor in this unprecedented act. What is your response to this? Number two, Matthew leaves out several names, a common practice among Jewish genealogies, in order to have sets of 14. So we see the omission of Simeon, in parentheses, cruelty, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we see the omission of Dan, parentheses, idolatry, in Revelation chapter 7. Number three, Matthew gives Joseph's legal descent as successor to the throne of David, and Luke gives Jesus' real parentage. Number four, Matthew gives the real descent of Joseph and Luke, the real descent of Mary. Five, God provides two witnesses in establishing the matter. We see that in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, Job 33, verse 14, and Psalm 62, verse 11. Number 6, Matthew shows the descent through David from Abraham, and Luke, the descent back through Abraham to Adam. So, redemption was God's design from the beginning. Now, as we look at the lineage in Matthew, we see that the 14th descendant of David was a king called Jeconiah, Matthew 1, verse 11. God pronounced a curse on Jeconiah, which is recorded in Jeremiah 22, verse 30. Thus says the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Now, this is, to me, this is so interesting, and the reason is because we see the hand of God in all of this. The devil thought, aha, gotcha. For the devil, this was a gotcha moment. Remember, he has two main strategies. To maneuver a person into a position where they curse God and die, or maneuver a person into a position where they are cursed by God and die. Okay, so this was the devil's attempt to stop the line of David. There's more than one, but this was one. This curse did not render Jeconiah childless, but it did say that none of his seven sons or their descendants could occupy the throne of David. Well, those who had the legal right to the throne were barred from occupying that throne by the curse placed on Jeconiah. Yet, he's in the lineage. Joseph was a direct descendant of Jeconiah. He inherited the legal right to the throne, but could not sit upon it because he was a direct descendant of Jeconiah. If Jesus had been the physical son of Joseph, Jesus would have been under this curse and precluded from the throne of David. Three conditions had to be met, which seemed impossible to fulfill. First, Jesus had to be a lineal descendant of David, 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. Second, he had to be the legal son of Joseph in order to inherit the right to sit upon the throne of David. Third, he could not be the physical son of Joseph, or else he would come under the curse. All right? Maybe God likes dilemmas because he comes up with his way, which often in counseling we call it the third way. Jesus meets the conditions. He is not the physical son of Joseph, but is the legal son. Jesus is in the lineal descent of David because Mary was a direct descendant of David, not through King Solomon, but through Nathan, another son of David. So the curse on Jeconiah did not affect Mary or her son. Jesus was the lineal son of Mary, quote, the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans 1, verse 3, unquote, though the legal son of Joseph. Okay, now I just think this is, you know, pretty interesting. What else can we note? Number one, Matthew records from Abraham, the natural father of the Jews and spiritual father of the Gentiles, Genesis 17, verse 5, Romans 4, 16 and 17. Luke writes from Christ to Adam, who is the Son of God and the father of Gentiles and Jews, all sinners alike, according to Romans 5, verse 19. Matthew concerns himself with the kingship of Jesus. Luke concerns himself with Jesus' humanity. The historic Jesus is the Jesus of prophecy. Hebrews 10:7, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus was born a Jew, the glory of his people Israel, and a light to lighten the Gentiles. Luke 2, verse 32. He came from the line of Shem. Genesis 9, verses 26 and 27, and Luke 3, verse 36. Shem was a son of Noah. The name Shem means name or noteworthy. Shem was one of the two sons who dutifully covered their father's shame. Shem is called, quote, the father of all the children of Eber, unquote, from which comes the term Hebrews, the Hebrews. Genesis 10, verse 21, Numbers 24, verse 24. The Greek word for Shem is S-E-M, Sem, from which we have the word Semites. Anti-Semitism means against the Semites. Abraham is the descendant of Shem. To Abraham, God would give promises of blessing, as we have seen. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Abraham, a Gentile from Ur of the Chaldees, became the first man to be a Hebrew. Genesis 14, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 8 tells us, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Abraham had many sons besides Ishmael and Isaac, but God decreed that the Messiah would come through Isaac. Genesis 26, verses 2 and 4, Romans 9, just read all of Romans 9, Hebrews 11, verse 18. And why is that? Because it was through the covenant line, the covenant. And it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the covenant line. Isaac had Esau and Jacob, but Jesus would be, quote, the star out of Jacob, Numbers 24, verses 17 and 19, and the lion of the tribe of Judah, Psalm 78, Genesis 49, verse 10, and Luke 3, verse 33, and Hebrews 7, verse 14, and Revelation 5, verse 5. Judah, the fourth son of Leah, means praise. God honored Leah over Jacob's beloved Rachel in having Jesus come from Leah. The tribal identity of Judah was not to pass until Shiloh came. Shiloh meaning peace or one sent. S-E-N-T. Genesis 49, verse 10. From the tribe of Judah, we come to the family of Jesse. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2 foretells the fact, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The imagery here is of God taking a man with no standing, a mere stump, and engrafting new life into him. Jesse was an unknown, not the head of a royal family. God made him the father of a king. In Ruth we read, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Of Jesse's eight sons, David was chosen. David was the youngest. David comes to dominate the New Testament with 58 occurrences. 58. In the covenant with David, God promises, your throne shall be established forever. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of your body will I set upon you, will I set upon your throne. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. You, Bethlehem, city of David, out of you shall he come forth unto me. This, that is, to be ruler in Israel. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. In that day the house of David shall be as God. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Matthew 22, verse 42. They say unto him, the son of David. John will tell us that Christ comes of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was, in John chapter 7. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2. Of himself, Jesus says, I am the root and offspring of David, in Revelation chapter 22. Then we come to Joseph. Matthew speaks of Joseph as the son of Jacob. Luke speaks of Joseph as the son of Heli. What's going on here? Heli was Mary's father. Luke does not say that Heli begat Joseph. Joseph was the actual son of Jacob, but Joseph became the son-in-law of Heli as Mary's husband. Some conjecture that Jacob and Heli were brothers, that if Mary was an only child, she would be married to Joseph according to the law, despite their being first cousins. Jesus was not the natural fruit of their marriage. Jesus was a child of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Luke 1, verses 30 to 33 and following. Quote, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1, verse 18. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Today we must look at the records, consider the facts, ask our questions, and be open enough to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to guide us into the truth of who Jesus is. Why? Because many people sought to live righteously. Many thought and think today that they are righteous enough to merit eternal life. Many people died on crosses. Some people were even raised from the dead. They came back to life. But only through Jesus does one come to the Father. Only through Jesus, the infinite God-man, does one have eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the life maker, the life producer. Our eternal destiny rests on who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says that Jesus is the child of the Holy Ghost. He is full of grace and truth. He has the Holy Spirit without measure. He was sent by the Father to save a people given to him by his Father. Of these he would lose none. He alone is Savior. He alone is King of kings and Lord of lords. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. He is worthy, the Lamb who was slain. And so, as we gather the facts and accept God's invitation to come, let us reason together. Let us seek the truth. Our lives depend on it. Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical, personal, perfect, perpetual obedience, that he fulfilled all righteousness. We thank you that Jesus, that you sent Jesus into this world to save sinners, and you have said that all have sinned and fall short of your glory. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus died the death that we deserve, for we are lawbreakers and covenant breakers, unrighteous and lawless. And Lord God, we thank you that he died that death to pay the penalty for our sins, to satisfy divine justice, to redeem us, that we might be reconciled to you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For salvation is about getting back to you. We thank you, Lord, that he was raised from the dead, which showed us that you accepted Jesus Christ and his atoning work, what he did, what he accomplished, Lord. And we thank you that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. And we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you that the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you today. We come on bended knee with our heads bowed in humility before you. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, that you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God and the Father, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would please now stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.